This is the Blue, White and Yellow podcast from Leeds United Live, giving you the in-depth analysis on all the big talking points from Elland Road.
All right, pal. Well, I will just get the intro going and we'll set off in 3, 2. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Blue, White and Yellow with myself, Conor McGilligan, your multimedia and podcast editor. I am joined by Alex Dickens of Wolves Live to give us a little bit of a preview on the game on Friday night at Molineux. It's always a tasty one between Wolves and Leeds. I've always thought two big clubs colliding, and we've had definitely some memorable games in the past. But first of all, Alex, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. And you?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good. Still a little bit nervous, to be honest with you. We've got a win, which doesn't feel normal. It feels like we should just be on this constant losing streak. So I don't know if I feel more nervous at the fact that, you know, we've actually managed to pick up a win. But there you go, that's football. So, Alex, on Wolves, I mean, how's it been this season, mate? It looks like, obviously, seventh place at the minute. And there's been a couple of, in your last five, there's been a couple of bad results. I think you've lost 3 out of 5, but yeah. Respectable ones in there as well. A 2-1 loss to Arsenal, a 1-0 to West Ham in there as well. But overall, mate, the package of the season, how's it been so far?
Yeah, really, really good, to be honest. I think when Wolves lost those first three games under Bruno Lage, everyone thought they'd be a relegation candidate this season. And I know a lot of pundits before the season started were predicting that they'd be in trouble. But, you know, what they failed to forget was that Wolves still had Ruben Neves, you know, Connor Cody, Raul Jimenez, João Moutinho, some fantastic players still. You know, it was never a squad that was going to be in relegation trouble. More a team that was going to always be striving to get back towards the European place. I mean, they finished seventh two seasons in a row, probably should have broken the top six in one of them. And they are threatening to do that this season. Their form has been absolutely sensational since the turn of the year. 7 wins from 11 games, I think. So yeah, they're banging form and they've really given themselves a great chance of finishing inside the top six, which would obviously be the best of a Premier League finish.
It seems like the consistency of this Wolves side has just been there for all to see over the past however many years now. I mean, even I was just looking at the back four of when you last played us at the start of the season, and it was obviously Sarr. I think it was Romain Saiz was in there, Connor Cody, Max Kilman. Yeah. Do you think that's the benefit of it, really, Alex? I mean, you've got Moutinho in there, Dendonka, Neves. It always, you've got a core nucleus, which is always part of the 11, really, week in, week out, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask a lot of fans, they'll probably be quite annoyed that the team hasn't changed much since they got promoted in 2018. I think that summer they really strengthened with 6 top signings. But since then, there's not really been anyone who's come in to instantly improve the 11. But it is, you know, it's a team that knows each other really well, a very tight-knit group. And they do still have, I mean, they've been very, very fortunate to hang on to some of the players they've got. I think if it hadn't been for Raul Jimenez's head injury, obviously, in 2020, I don't think he'd be here any longer. Ruben Neves, I think Wolves fans must pinch themselves every day that he's managed to stay 5 years because he's absolutely, you know, sensational and walk into pretty much any team in this league at the moment. João Moutinho, they've kept him here for 4 years. You know, they've got a strong nucleus, like you said, that's been around for a few years now. So I think it's about time that this Wolves team finished above seventh in the league because, you know, they've played Arsenal recently and they're absolutely desperately unlucky to lose both games. They've beaten Spurs comfortably recently. They've had 2 games against West Ham this season, won 1-0, lost 1-0. In my opinion, they're probably a better team than West Ham. So it's going to be an exciting end to the season. But I honestly feel this team, the 11 especially, is definitely good enough to break into that top six.
Yeah, I remember it was funny when Neves was, I think you got him from Porto, didn't you? Or somewhere of the like. But I remember when he first came over and everybody was saying something very, very similar. It was the fact it was Ruben Neves, how have Wolves managed to get him? Because at the time his profile was through the roof. I think he was playing Champions League football as well. I mean, like you've just said then, what's he been like this season? I mean, his partnership with Moutinho is just, I mean, it's probably something that you thought maybe at the start this might last for a year, 18 months, but it's flourishing. It's been flourishing for many years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Neves, he's probably always, Matinho's probably always outperformed in the previous two or three seasons. Matinho struggled last season, but he's had like kind of a rebirth under Bruno Lage. He's been absolutely fantastic this season. But Neves, he's gone to another level. He's got absolutely everything in his game now. Bruno mentioned when he arrived in the summer that Neves is kind of the player that he wanted to improve most. Because, you know, he'd watched him sit on the bench for Portugal during the Euros and wondered why, given obviously the talent he has. And he wanted to improve him, I think, defensively, he said, and also his understanding of the game. And Neves has been, I mean, the last 3-4 months, just incredible to watch. The last two games as well, he's completely controlled them. And probably the main reason why Wolves won at Everton on Sunday. He was sensational in the second half, just kind of stepped it up after half-time and dominated it. And I was speaking to someone about this last night, but I genuinely feel whenever Wolves go into a game and Ruben Neves is playing, that they'll win at the moment. Because he's playing that well. I think the question is going to come, he's got 2 years left in his contract at the end of this season, whether they can hang on to him for much longer, because he's a player that deserves to be playing, not just in the Champions League, but for a top club in the Champions League that probably reaches the last four of the competition. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the summer, because he is, honestly, he's a joke of a footballer at the moment. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because Wolves have they've always been a really tough team to beat, Wolves. I think everybody knows that, and it's probably a lot of the Portuguese.
They've previously been quite boring.
That's exactly, Alex, I was trying to be polite there. But yeah, it's a team which has got so many Portuguese players in there. Obviously, we know how they play the national side in terms of how they slow games down, and they're able to just really break up any phase of play that the opposition has. And listen, against Leeds, Bielsa's Leeds, when it's been wide football, it's been aggressive, it's been basketball-esque. Wolves have always been a struggle because they broke the game up. And I mean, I guess, Alex, of Wolves added to that side of the game, obviously that's been a thing under Nuno as well, hasn't it? How has Bruno changed that? Has he made you offensively much more potent? What's he exactly done?
I think Wolves and Leeds are two great contrasts, because you've got, especially previously, Leeds under Bielsa. I'm not sure how they'll play under Jesse March now, but under Bielsa, Leeds were very kind of gung-ho and very attack-minded. And Wolves, they have massively improved going forward this season under Bruno, but they still have the kind of defensive nous and quality and structure to be very, very awkward for other teams. Like, I'll think back to when they played Man City in December. They lost that game 1-0, and they should never have lost. It was a horrendous penalty decision that cost them. And they had 10 men for most of the game as well. And afterwards, Pep Guardiola criticised the way Wolves played and the way they set up. And it's not in Bruno Lage's nature to be a defensively-minded coach. He always says 90% of the things we do are attacking-based. But obviously, he felt that he, like most managers in the league, would feel going to Man City that he couldn't set up his team to just have a go at Man City, because naturally, Man City got the best players in the world and would beat them. So he set them up defensively and almost got a result. Whereas I think the following week, Marcelo Bielsa took Leeds there, played great football, whatever, had a go, but they lost 7-1. And Guardiola praised them after the game, saying, you know, this is the right way to play and stuff. But, you know, that's fine. He will do that because they beat them 7-1. It's great for him. He doesn't have to do any work. He just puts his players against another team, and they're obviously a lot better, so they win. But I do think Bruno's had to adapt a lot, because that's an example in that Bruno wouldn't want to go to Man City and play defensively, but he had to because he knew his players couldn't match them. Obviously, in his only previous managerial job at Benfica, he would have been the best team in the league. So he wouldn't have had to think about things like that. But he's shown great versatility to take on what Nuno had, which was at times, you know, a overly defensive team, which thrived on counter-attacking and made it far more possession-based. They now have a lot of, I wouldn't say they always dominate the ball, but when they have it, they do a lot of good things with it and they try to keep it. Whereas previously under Nuno, it did feel like a lot of the time they were letting teams have the ball, because he wanted them to have the ball so that they could draw teams onto them and spring them on the counter-attack, which is great when you've got Adama Traore and Diogo Jota, but not necessarily with the players Wolves have got now. So I think there's been a lot of that. You know, we've seen the last two games, Wolves have, you know, dominated the ball and won both comfortably, and they're far better against the relegation teams now because they show up to these games believing that they've got better players and should win. Whereas it's kind of mentality Bruno's instilled, whereas previously they would approach every game the same, and it would be kind of defensive, clean sheet first and foremost, and we'll try and get a goal to win it. And that's not the way Bruno wants to play. And I think credit to him for adapting to the players he's got and recognising that they can't always play like he wants them to, but also at the same time, some of the football they play this season has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think was it after the Palace game, the 2-0 loss at home, where Large sort of he came out and he said, you know, this will never happen again. I guess that is the winning mentality he's sort of instilled in this Wolves side, isn't it?
Yeah, he's far different to Nuno in that when he has, you know, when he speaks to the media, he's very kind of ambitious, and he says exactly what he wants the team to achieve. He wants to put the team, he always uses the phrase, in a different level. Like he wants to break into the top six, and he hasn't shied away from that. He told the team when they got to 40 points, you know, you've reached this point. Now we've got to kind of go and, you know, finish strongly and not kind of rest on our laurels. And that's what they've done the last couple of games. And it obviously comes from the fact that he's always been a successful coach, obviously, albeit at youth level, previously with Benfica. And then when he stepped up Benfica's first team, you know, he won 18 of 19 games to come back and win the league title in his first season. So he's always been at the top of whichever league he's been in. So I don't think in those early weeks of the season, I don't think he took it very kindly that Wolves weren't and they were struggling. But fair play to him, he's turned it around and they've been, you know, fantastic. And I honestly think that with this coach, Wolves owners need to kind of listen to what he says about transfers and things and take on board what he's saying. Otherwise, there'll be other clubs that will snap him up because he is clearly a top coach and he's going to go far.
Yeah, it's interesting when you're talking about styles as well, because obviously with Wolves being a lot more defensively minded than a lot of other teams in the division, with Marcelo Bielsa's side, it was, as you know, Alex, it was wide, it was expansive, it was man
great
for man.
To watch.
yeah, not great for my heart palpitations, but yeah, it was great for the neutral, I can imagine. But in terms of, because obviously you compare it to a team like Wolves in terms of the defensive structure, Leeds in this, with this new manager Jesse Marsh, you feel like it's going to be a little bit more zonal. We're going to be a little bit more compact, which is going to be definitely a different task for Wolves coming up against Leeds. But do you think that's the way we have to go in the Premier League, Alex? Or would you have sort of stuck with Marcelo Bielsa and have continued the expansive football and just see what happened?
I think from the outside looking in, the results Leeds had, I think it was probably the right decision at the time to give themselves the best chance of staying up. But at the same time, I remember watching them when they came up from to the Premier League last year. And the first time I watched them, I'm trying to think of the game on the first game of the season last year.
Was it Liverpool?
Liverpool. And it was a 4-3?
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking that day, they're going to get absolutely hammered some weeks. But they are going to get some surprise results and be very awkward for teams like Liverpool, like Man City, that do open up, like they could potentially cause a shock. I know it hasn't happened this season. And, you know, they got whacked by Man City and they've taken a few of the hammer in as well. Liverpool beat them 6, didn't they, as well? So the way they played, it was always a possibility. Whereas a team like Wolves, every single game is decided by one goal pretty much, apart from when a horrendous team like Watford comes to town and loses 4-0. but yeah, so... Wolves are taking a different strategy, and they, most of their games are very tight and close because they do have that solid defence and they do struggle to score goals. But Leeds, I mean, as you say, for a neutral, they were fantastic to watch under Bielsa. But I do think in the position there, and you don't want them to be boring, because I don't think there are many Premier League teams that are boring now in terms of that don't play the right way. Maybe if there is a right way, that might offend some people, but maybe Burnley, the only kind of more direct team in the league, I'd say. Everyone else tends to get the ball down and play, whereas and I think Leeds need a combination of both now, probably to see them over the line. They need to not completely forget everything that Bielsa instilled in them, because it was great to watch and it brought them a lot of success, but they can't be so kind of gung-ho and easy to break down, because I know Wolves, when they've played them a couple of times after the 1-0 at Elland Road last year, I remember Dendonka saying we literally just had to wait for them to tire themselves out and pick them off, and that's what a lot of teams would have done. I think you need a combination of both in the Premier League, unless you are Man City or Liverpool and you've got the best players in the world then you can just do what you want. But obviously the players' lead they've got fighting the bottom of the league, you do need to be defensively sound, and they weren't under Bielsa.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm in complete agreement with you. I think there's got to be a balance, hasn't there? There's got to be, and if there isn't a balance, then there's going to be a struggle at either end of the pitch. But one player, Alex, that used to cause us a few problems was Adama Traore. Mm. Now, I don't think it was his end product as such, even though he got a strange goal at Molineux where he smacked the bar and it went in.
He didn't get anything for that one, not even a goal or an assist. He literally ran from inside his own half.
But yeah, I think we always struggled. Obviously, we're just talking there about the man-for-man system because Traore was so quick. He was able to sort of surpass that man-for-man system. I mean, you look at Wolves' position now and you think it's not been a loss at all, really. But have you been able to sort of compensate for that pace and that athleticism out wide?
I think it's been quite a big loss, to be honest. I know the last two results make it look quite favourable for Wolves since Adama left. I think it's probably four wins from nine games. I think they've lost five since he left, all in. And I just think the way he was playing before he left for Barcelona, in the couple of months before that, he was really good, especially coming off the bench. He was a massive option for Bruno Lage. Always the first person he turned to. He scored against Southampton. He scored a goal that was a marginal offside in his final game against Brentford. He's creating loads of chances off the bench. And he's a huge loss, to be honest. Wolves don't have... I mean, you're never going to replace him, are you? Wolves don't have that player who with such speed and dribbling ability. But they do have Pedro Neto, who's very, very quick, and he has recently come back from injury. There's a doubt over him for Friday because he missed Everton with a slight foot injury. But he is kind of the nearest thing Wolves have got. He's a different player. Probably got better final delivery, I would say. He carries the ball well, and obviously he was fantastic for Wolves last season, winning Player of the Year before he got injured. But yeah, he's the nearest thing. But in my opinion, they haven't replaced Adama. It looks like a terrible deal now because Barcelona have thrown out little comments every couple of weeks and they might not take up the option. So Wolves may have landed themselves in it with a player who's not going to sign a new deal with 12 months left on his contract if he comes back in the summer.
Goodness, wow. So you've mentioned it a little bit, to be fair, on you know how Wolves play and the style and stuff like that, but quite a cliche and generic question, Alex. But where do you see the strengths and the weaknesses of this Bruno Lage side?
The weaknesses, they still don't take a lot of their chances. I know they beat Watford 4-0, but Watford gave them the first three goals. I've not quite seen a defensive performance that bad in the Premier League. They don't take many of their chances. They don't create loads and loads and loads, but they are still fairly weak in front of goal. I think Jimenez has really struggled in front of goal. His all-round play has been quite good, but he struggled in front of goal this season. He missed two really good chances against Arsenal and ended up losing his place the following two games, but he didn't work without him. Wolves don't function the same way without him, so that's to bring him back into the team. Hwangi Chan's a very good finisher, but he doesn't really do an awful lot else and he doesn't really get that many chances in the first place. And Daniel Pedence creates a lot of chances, but Jimenez has missed them. So they've got good attacking players and you would think, looking at their attacking players, they'd score a lot more goals. But yeah, their top scorer this season is Jimenez with six, I think. Pedence and Hwang have got five, Neves has got four, and then, you know, Connor Cody's next, I think, with three. So they haven't been great on the goal scoring front, but so that if Leeds can frustrate them, especially at where they will be expecting a win. Because, I mean, Bruno will admit himself the pressure is on at the moment because they need to keep winning these games to pile the pressure on the teams above them. If Leeds can frustrate Wolves, that could develop into something more and potentially nick a goal on the break. But the good thing for Wolves is that they are ridiculously solid in defence. I mean, I know they had a little blip the last month when they lost three games on the spin. The last two games they've looked very solid again. Aside from one Richarlison chance against Everton, they didn't look like conceding. They played, you know, Man United, Chelsea around Christmas time, didn't look like conceding. Played Liverpool and Man City, didn't look like conceding. I think it was a 94th minute goal for Liverpool and a dodgy penalty for Man City. So I think there was a stage this season where they conceded three goals in 11 games. So yeah, they are probably one of the most organised and best defensive units in the Premier League, and they seem to have rediscovered that now with Kilman coming back into the team. So yeah, that's the area where I'm very confident, but it's just the other end where the Wolves are going to take the chances they create.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Leeds fans will definitely take a draw for this one, Alex, 100%. And talking about draws, the last game was it was chaotic. I looked at some of the stats actually, and because you know we're comparing to our relegation rivals, and you know you look at Watford and you guys, like you've said, when you batted them 4-0, possession was all Wolves, which is quite unusual, like double the amount of passes. The same thing was for the Everton game as well, but for the Leeds game, it was almost flip the switch. Leeds had way more shots. Obviously, both teams had the same amount on target. Leeds had more passes, all this sort of stuff. But we've seen that script with Leeds before, where we've had, you know, not so much dominated, because I don't think we dominated the game, but we controlled parts of it and we've not been able to take our chances. When you looked at that last game, Alex, obviously Leeds brought substitute Joe Gelhart on, who started running at Wolves. We got the penalty and then we equalised in the 94th minute. What did you take away from it? I remember watching it and thinking, Wolves just aren't stepping on the pedal here. I thought at 1-0 they really could have stepped on it and made it count.
That was Nuno's Wolves, in my opinion. Like that was the first time Bruno had done something like that this season. In that he set up so defensively, I think he earned a lot of fans are frustrated with the way he set the team up that day. And I think Neves had a slight issue, so he didn't play him. He only brought him on for the final minute or something. And a midfield of Dendonka and Moutinho, especially in a midfield two, it's not the answer for Wolves. It doesn't work. It's Neves plus one in a midfield two. And I just think Wolves set up so negatively. They ended up just letting Leeds come on to them. And once they got the goal, they got the early goal, they ended up just sitting on it. And it was very frustrating. They didn't go and try and kill the game. I think there was one instance in the second half. I think it was not long after Pedence had replaced Traore. He ended up kind of being played through. And I was just there thinking, he didn't get away from his Leeds marker in the end. But I was just there thinking, if that's Traore, it's a clear one-on-one goal scoring opportunity and the game could potentially be dead. So it was frustrating from start to finish. Even the way Leeds conceded Leeds got the penalty at the end. They had so many chances to take him out before he got to the box. And he ended up kind of just being bundled over by Semedo. So that was a really poor one. And probably one of the most frustrating results this season, actually, because of the way it unfolded.
Well, that's in a strange way is positive and negative, because you know we've shown that we can at least score against this rear guard, even if it was a penalty. But you know, I guess the negatives are that that Neves wasn't playing from the start, and you've already alluded to him being the sort of talisman, really. Alex, if I am to push you for a scoreline for this game, people who've come on, mate, the predictions have been unbelievable. So the pressure is on, mate. if you want to predict for this game, mate, or if we could get a prediction, that'd be amazing.
I'm hoping for an early Wolves goal, and I will go 2-0. I think they'll get an early goal and then it'll be on Leeds to come at them, and I think they'll pick them off. So I'll go 2-0 Wolves.
Yeah, I'll stick with a 1-1, but it would be an unbelievable result. I think, like you said, Alex, the first goal, as it is in every game, but I think against Wolves. I mean, I was watching Atletico Madrid last night and I thought, it is just Wolves, isn't it? It's the game management. When Wolves go 1-0 up, that game management is elite. It's so good. And I just, you know, they're such a streetwise side that I think it's going to be really difficult for Leeds to break them down. So that first goal is going to be absolutely it's going to be huge in this game. So, but Alex, thank you so much for joining, buddy. Where can people find you for the pre-game stuff, post-game stuff, if Leeds fans are to win or even draw and come over and enjoy your content?
Well, if Leeds lose, they're not going to be enjoying my content, but no. It'll be at Alex E. Dickin on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook as well, but you can also follow our Facebook page, which is Wolves Live, and obviously our Twitter page, Wolves Live again, at Wolves FC _ latest.
Good stuff. Make sure you check it out, guys, and we'll be back post the Wolves game with Baron and JD with your instant match reaction. Cheers, everybody. 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 Reaction. Cheers, everybody.